My name is Zachary Mead. I'm a third-year medical student at the Carl Illinois College of Medicine at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. It's the world's first engineering-based college of medicine, and it was really a divine story how God led me here to be a physician that can also learn to innovate and create new things. So I'm excited to follow God's path that way. I just wanted to take a second to share, you know, what CMD has done for me as a student and what it means to me. Coming to medical school, as all of you probably are familiar with in some way or fashion, it's difficult. You're in a new environment. Maybe you don't know anyone. And CMDA was that community that you could always count on and rely on. They were that familiar face in a way, because no matter where you go, you know, we're all one in Christ. That's important to someone starting out in such a stressful environment. Additionally, you know, as we move forward in years, the education we receive at times can be really anti-Christ. In many ways, we learn things that are just contradictory to the Bible. And it's great to have still a community of believers that support you, you know, biblically, and can help you wade through that, you know, while staying true to the Bible first and foremost, and still providing good care to your patients. That is everything really that CMDA provides for me as a student, and I'm so grateful to have it. So thank you for your support.
Well, I want to welcome you today to the special Christmas edition of CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, and you just heard from one of our student leaders, Mr. Zach Mead, from the great state of Illinois. Zach is one of approximately 564 student leaders who serve with CMDA as part of the national student community on 329 healthcare campuses. That group grew in numbers by more than 40% this past year, in spite of the challenges presented by the COVID pandemic. I'm excited to share with you today that God has been so good to us this year at CMDA, meeting our financial needs in ways that we could not have ever anticipated or planned. You've been hearing me share each week that we had an unexpected $100,000 match offered by one of our members, matching any gift dollar for dollar up until Christmas Day. I wanted to let you know that we are able to claim, praise God, that entire match as of Christmas Eve, and we are moving closer to achieving our overall November-December giving goal of $275,000. We can only celebrate and thank Jehovah Jireh as this year of our Lord 2020 comes to a close. You know, there's still time left to give if you have been intending to help this ministry of changing hearts in healthcare as we approach our 90th year anniversary as a ministry in 2021. You can just go to cmda.org/donate before this calendar year comes to a close, and I'll be sure to let you know next month what God has done to help us financially in the midst of this pandemic surge. I'm praying and asking God for a surge of generosity from our champions in the midst of these difficult times, especially challenging for those of you serving in healthcare on the front lines. I saw many wonderful posts on Facebook this past week, pictures of my physician and nurse friends who are on the front lines getting vaccinated against coronavirus with great big smiles on their faces. My own daughter, Kayla, who just launched her nursing career this month and has been caring for COVID-19 patients, she texted me early in the morning this week, excited that she also was vaccinated with a Pfizer vaccine. We celebrate the incredible investment in finances and work around the clock that have made these vaccines available in record time in order to help our pandemic warriors, those who are caring for patients with severe illness all across our country, an incredible Christmas present to healthcare workers everywhere. Well, today the program is just a little different. as I decided to share with our Matters podcast listeners the Christmas devotional that I gave to the national and field staff last week in chapel, done through Zoom this year. The COVID surge that we are experiencing in eastern Tennessee right now led us to officially close our office over Thanksgiving, and we are working to serve you from our homes this holiday season. My Christmas message this year focused on unshakable hope as we conclude a year that we will not soon forget at CMDA. I did use a PowerPoint presentation that accompanied this devotional, so if you'd like to see the pictures, places, and people that I refer to, you will find that PowerPoint in the show notes associated with this podcast. If you just go to cmda.org/cmda-matters. I invite you now to listen in to some words of challenge and encouragement that I shared with our CMDA staff this Christmas in the midst of celebrating our Lord's first Advent, while we eagerly await with unshakable hope His glorious second Advent. Well, this Christmas season, there have been so many thoughts running through my mind on themes for an annual Christmas devotional. But in the last 2 weeks, the word unshakable has crossed my computer and my mind a couple of times in such a way that I couldn't shake it. One was from our champion and wonderful friend of CMDA, Patsy Lawton. After the dedication of the Learning Center to her husband, Bill, she sent out a one-pager Christmas letter and used the words unshakable peace. And then this week, I got from Washington, D.C., Nicole Hayes's update, and she talked about God's unshakable kingdom. And so the word unshakable was on my mind, but also the word hope. And with the release that's happened this week of vaccines starting to fan out across the country and probably the globe, a spark of hope. And so I've been thinking about hope. Also, a couple of other words that I'm going to get into here shortly that are of meaning to me. So I'm a pretty nostalgic person. I like to go back and think about old times. And the largest Christmas tree in the state of Indiana, my home state, and then I'm from Indianapolis, the capital, the largest Christmas tree in Indiana happens right dead center at the Soldiers and Sailors Monument in Indianapolis, Indiana. I don't know if it's geographically exactly the center of the state, but it's pretty close. And some great fond memories from my growing up years, especially high school, going downtown, walking around, taking pictures of this incredible, beautiful Christmas tree lit up at night. And then probably the highlight of my Christmases was as a senior, I was chosen. Turns out it was Pam's mom, because she was our choir director, to sing the solo as our choir of about 60 people got invited to sing at the monument in a little building. And I got to do the solo for O Holy Night. Maybe the highlight, the zenith of my singing career that Christmas. I also thought about, if you look down that street, it's actually a south-facing street. You know, when you live in a flat state like Indiana, streets pretty much go east, west, north, south. You see the map that I put there with a circle in the middle. That's Monument Circle. And then the red line going north and south was called Meridian Street. I really honestly thought it was called Meridian Street because it was right in the middle. If you go on North Meridian Street from Monument Circle, you get to some old homes that are massive in Indianapolis, and they had some of the most phenomenal Christmas decorations, the lights. So people would drive up and down Meridian Street looking at these lights as a highlight to celebrating Christmas. And I did that once I got my driver's license and was especially a senior in high school. And you know, I thought Meridian meant that it was in the middle. But recently I discovered something else about Meridian. That's not what Meridian means. What is a Meridian? Well, a prime Meridian goes straight north and south between the North Pole and the South Pole. And the dictionary says it's the half of an imaginary great circle on the Earth's surface, terminated by the North Pole and the South Pole. And no, I'm in this devotional not going to focus on Santa Claus and the North Pole. As I was looking at the definition of meridian and saw that because it's north-south street in the middle of Indianapolis, that's why it's called meridian. There was another definition that popped up in the dictionary, and it was meridian means the peak, the apex, the high water mark, crest, climax, or the extremity. And then given the current situation that we're facing with COVID-19 and these curves that Jamie Campbell, our COO, and I have been following along with many of you, you know, it looks like, especially with vaccines being distributed, that we, through the holidays, may be facing the meridian of this pandemic, at least in the United States, and that through Christmas and New Year's, God willing, with a vaccine, herd immunity, that we may see, as Jamie put earlier in the day, the potential end of the tunnel. But not during these holidays, not during this Christmas. Now, this other word, I've explained meridian, but what about this word COVIDian? Well, I'm a surgeon, and there actually is a company called COVIDian, and so that's why it comes off my tongue fairly easily and very near and dear to my heart, because our hospital actually used COVIDian to buy our surgical staplers. COVIDian kept me supplied every single day doing bowel surgery and doing all sorts of general operations on skin and its contents. So COVIDian was on my mind, but not spelled this way. And in fact, I looked up the word COVIDian with an A, and it doesn't exist. So therefore, a couple months ago, you guys gave me some grace and let me come up with, I came up with gratitude. I made up a word, so I thought you could give me grace a second time. And yes, in the Simple Surgeon's Dictionary, i.e. I made it up, COVIDian is an unexpected disruption with uncertainty and suffering and sharp disagreement on exactly how to fix it. So we are in a COVIDian Christmas. And our country and world are hungry for hope. This was from the AMA Daily Morning Rounds, Why Hopes Are High as the COVID-19 Vaccine Approval Hearings Begin. Of course, that was December 9th. We're past that now, and vaccines are being distributed. Well, where should our hope be? In a vaccine? Well, not according to God's word. In Psalm 33, verses 20 to 22 in the New Living Translation, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. Let Your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope, not in Pfizer, not in Moderna, our hope is in You alone, Lord. Tony Evans, in his book, Totally Saved, Jesus, our hope, we have lasting hope through the salvation we have in Christ. Hope means that even when it looks like it's all over, it's not all over yet. That's why the Bible says we can rejoice even in our tribulations. God is working in our hard times to produce proven character and hope in us. Well, when I think of unshakable hope as we are going through this hard Christmas holiday time, potentially with family gatherings limited and unlike maybe any we've ever had, even those of us who have been around a few decades, I think of this building, actually. This is the Africa Gospel Church Baby Center in Nakuru, Kenya. That was an idea was birthed and a building built a number of years ago while I was in Kenya. And this baby center near Nakuru, one of the largest cities in the country of Kenya, housed abandoned babies, no parents, orphaned, were brought to this baby center, and they took care of these babies between birth and age two or so, and had adoption agencies so they would adopt out these babies. And for a period of time, actually for a number of years, the directors of that baby center were Dana and Dan Jacobs, and from Northern Indiana, from my home state, actually from Napanee, Indiana, and from Napanee Missionary Church, the denomination that I grew up in, came from that church and directed the baby center for a number of years. We got to know them fairly well as our fellow World Gospel Mission missionaries for several years. The little gal with the bright face is Hope. Well, baby Hope was left at the Africa Gospel Church Baby Center because she was critically ill, abandoned without parents, was suffering, failure to thrive, and actually had a congenital heart problem called a patent ductus arteriosus, or PDA for short. And as it turns out, my partner of many years at Tenwick Hospital, Dr. Russ White, and one of our chief PAX residents, Dr. Agneta Odera, actually repaired that congenital problem at Tenwick Hospital in February of 2013. And so Dan and Dana took her in and fell in love with this little lady and started raising her as their own there at the baby center. Now, in the summer of 2013, I was the assistant country director for World Gospel Mission Kenya, maybe 50 missionaries in the country. And our country directors needed, Jim and Alice, needed to return to the United States. So they handed the baton over to me and said, we'll be gone just 6 weeks, Mike. Just make sure that you keep the lights on and we're quite sure that things will be fine. Let us know if anything comes up. We'll see you. So I became the acting country director the summer of 2013. Within a week, I got a phone call from Dan one evening. I was actually in the Tenwick guest house talking to some visitors. And Dan said, hey, Mike, do you have a minute? I want to share something with you. Dana today, she's been having some pain in her left side of her chest, and it's a very strange pain. She's never had it before. We've given her some pain medicines that don't seem to be working. And she kind of says she feels a little bit wobbly. And I said, well, tell me a little bit more about her past history. And he explained that 5 years before that she had had a pre-malignant lump removed. But other than that, she had been in perfect health. I was bothered a little bit by what he shared with me and had her get some stronger analgesics and said, let's see what happens in the next 24 hours or so. Give me a call tomorrow. In the meantime, I think you ought to think about getting some x-rays of her back. Well, the next afternoon, Dan called me back and said, you know, Mike, things have gotten a lot worse. Actually, this morning, she could hardly get out of bed. We didn't even make it to the hospital to get an x-ray like you suggested. She's very weak in her legs. She hardly made it to the bathroom this morning. And this afternoon, she can't walk at all. And so, of course, as a general surgeon, the alarm bells started going off in my head. Something bad is happening here. I got on the phone and immediately talked to Nairobi Hospital and talked to a neurosurgeon that I had worked with many times, Dr. Musau, who was willing to receive Dana as she arrived in Nairobi. So they put Dana in the back of their four-wheel drive and went to Nairobi Hospital. All the while, Dr. Musau was going back and forth to me, and he ordered an MRI of her spine. And I have a picture of that today. This is actually a picture I took 48 hours later, but at that time, this is what Dr. Musau was seeing. An actual metastatic tumor to her thoracic spine. And I've got, for the non-radiologist, most of you among who've not ever maybe seen an MRI, these red arrows are pointing at a tumor. This white line that's going up and down just off the left arrow, you can see the spinal cord being pinched right off the tip of the arrow on the left. And on the right, a different view shows a big tumor of her spinal column. And Dr. Musau called me and said, Mike, we're going to need to do emergency decompressive surgery because her spinal cord's been pinched, and that's why she's almost completely paralyzed. Pam and I got on the phone with Dan, and we immediately got in our vehicle within a few hours and drove from Timbuktu to Nairobi to join them at Nairobi Hospital. And within 6 or 8 hours, after some talk with Dan and Dana, they decided to go that night, and we were there at Nairobi Hospital. And from about 10 p.m. until 3 in the morning, Dr. Musau did an emergency surgery to decompress her spinal cord and to put some metal rods because he had to remove this tumor, and one of her vertebral bodies had been completely eaten away by this tumor. After surgery, Dana remained unable to basically feel her legs or move her legs, and she was in bed. And the pathology report came back that indeed it was metastatic breast cancer to her spine that had squeezed or pushed, compressed her spinal cord. Dr. Musau wasn't exactly sure how, if at all, her sensation or her motor ability to her legs would come back. We talked a bit with Dan and Dana about what to do from here. I actually made some phone calls to neurosurgeons in the U.S., got online and did some research. And honestly, what I found and what I heard from consultants in the States was that this was a really bad situation. Prognosis was terrible, including for getting back much function of her legs. you know, tried to share that very sensitively to Dan and Dana in the hospital room. She needed radiation. In fact, I just suggested to them both that if we can work it out, even though you have a catheter in, we need to get you immediately back to the United States. And Dan looked at me and said, Mike, we're not leaving Nairobi. We are not leaving Nairobi. We do not have custody of Hope, and we've got to get custody of Hope. Well, I don't have enough time to share with you all that happened in the next couple of months, but Dan went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to the U.S. Embassy and to Kenyan government agencies trying to get custody of Hope. It was just a difficult process. It's hard in the U.S. It's extremely difficult in an African country like Kenya, and for good reason. They're trying to avoid child trafficking. They have laws for a good reason, but it just makes the system slow. All the while, the surgeon in me, the physician in me, the friend in me, the assistant country director for Kenya in me was really wanting Dan and Dana to go back home and to start getting some therapy back at home. She started some radiation treatments there in Nairobi. I had a heart-to-heart talk with them about a week later. She was finally able to go home in a wheelchair. And I will never forget in the WGM guest house there in Nairobi sitting. Now the country directors had just returned, Jim and Alice, and we sat in the living room with Dan and Dana. And I looked at them and I said, is there no way that I can convince you to go back to the States to start considering chemotherapy and other treatment because this is so serious and the prognosis is guarded, you need to go back. And Dan said this, we are not leaving Kenya without Hope. We will not leave this country without Hope. Well, I knew enough in talking with Jim and Alice and others that this was going to be very difficult, but Dan had unshakable hope and trust that God was going to work this out. And within a matter of 4 or 5 months, Dan actually was having some improvement. She was getting back some feeling, a little bit of strength in her legs as she was getting the radiation treatments. They were actually able to get custody to be able to travel with Hope. And they went back to Indiana, flew back with Hope. And in northern Indiana, under treatment, Dana began to walk again. This is Dana actually walking in a mall in the middle of the winter in northern Indiana with a cane. She was getting back her sensation, her strength. Dan never wavered. Dana never wavered in their hope and trust that God was going to take care of her and heal her and that they would hang on to Hope. And then in spite of all the information that I knew and had read, and in spite of what the experts had told me over the phone in Kenya, 1 year later, this is Dana back at the baby center in Kenya throwing a frisbee out in the yard. This picture I took from Facebook a year later. I can tell you that I was really a doubting Thomas, and I was very skeptical that anything like this could have ever happened. Dan and Dana went on to have wonderful ministry with the AGC, Afro Gospel Church Baby Center, for 3 years. But then in December of 2016, Dana became sick again. And then in January in 2017 at Timrock Hospital, Dana went to be with Jesus. And in the World Gospel, and this is Hope, a little bit older Hope with this couple, Dan and Dana, the scripture that WGM and the write-up about Dana's life, but Hebrews 10:23 reminds us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We rejoice that Dana is in the presence of the source of that hope today. And now just a bit of the rest of the story for Dan Jacobs. After Dana went to be with her Savior in 2017, Dan went on and continued in ministry in Nakuru, Kenya, and continued to struggle for, and even is struggling to this day, in getting Hope's adoption through. It has been a difficult process, but Dan assured me this month that they seemed closer than ever to being able to adopt. And actually, Dan fell in love with a worker there at the Afro Gospel Church Baby Center, a woman named Salome, and they've gotten married and have launched a ministry in Kenya called the Hope for Family Kenya Trust and continue to take care of special needs kids, babies there in Nakuru, Kenya, in the heart of the nation of Kenya. Well, as I'm finishing up, I want to share a couple of scriptures. You know, after the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms by far has the most references to hope. And of course, with 150 chapters, that would make sense that hope is mentioned more than any other book. But the second book that has the highest number of references to our hope is Romans. Imagine the church in Rome and Paul wanting to encourage them with hope. Romans 15:13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in Romans chapter 5, 3-5, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance, friends, develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. This hope will not lead to disappointment. The angels to the shepherds, fear not. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, our Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is so pleased. Incredible words of hope a little over 2,000 years ago. And then last scripture to share with you from Hebrews 6, verses 18 and 19. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for our God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. CMDA, I told you that story of unshakable hope from Kenya because I want you, like Dan Jacobs, to say, CMDA, we are not leaving 2020 without hope. We will not leave without hope. There's no reason not to move forward into 2021 in spite of adversity, in spite of illness and sickness and trials. We have the ultimate hope in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let me close in prayer. Father God, thank You for the blessed opportunity that it has been in 2020 to serve You. And I thank You that You allow hardships and trials. Peter said that these have come so that our faith of greater worth than gold, and gold perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and produce praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so we await the glorious hope, the second advent of our Lord Jesus. And while we wait with anticipation this Christmas for that second coming, Lord, we have confidence that You'll take care of us at CMDA. For all of our members who are out there listening, for our constituents, hope that cannot be taken away by a spiked virus or by political turmoil or by a postmodern culture, a post-truth culture. Thank You for the privilege it is to be Your servants this Christmas and into the new year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we are only a couple of weeks away from our first ever multiple site live and virtual healthcare missions conference that we have been calling Remedy, Bringing the Hope and Healing of Christ to a World in Crisis. That conference is being held Saturday and Sunday, January 9th and 10th. At CMDA, our passion is that Christians in healthcare be prepared when this pandemic is over to serve both short-term and long-term in numbers greater than we have ever seen before, and in places that still have not yet had the opportunity to hear the message of hope of the cross of Christ. Start the new year off right with inspiring lectures from notable speakers and Christian leaders in healthcare, including Reverend Steve Noblett from Memphis, who's the executive director of the Christian Community Health Fellowship. Also, Dr. David Kim, who's director of Beacon Christian Community Health Center in New York City. I'll also be sharing from CMDA National Ministry in Bristol, Tennessee. And then Dr. Rebecca Meyer, who's professor of nursing at California Baptist University. We believe this will be a great blessing to so many. So please don't miss out on your chance to register even today by just going to cmda.org/remedy. Well, as I wrap it up today, I want to wish you and your family and your church and your community and those that you work with on a weekly basis in healthcare, I want to wish you a joy-filled and peaceful Christmas celebration. May the peace of Christ rule in your hearts as 2020 comes to a close. If you're anything like me, this final week of every calendar year is an important time of reflection on all that God did in our lives to demonstrate His unfailing love to us, His children. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, the Apostle John wrote, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are, John says. May this truth that you are a son or daughter of the King of Kings give you unshakable hope at the meridian of a COVIDian Christmas. Finishing 2020 well matters to you, and it sure does matter to us at CMDA and CMDA Matters. God willing, we will see you next week for our final program of 2020, one of those best of series interview from the 2020 lineup of the Healthy Doctor podcast, hosted by our very own director of the CMDA Center for Wellbeing, Dr. Steve Sartori. Thank you for joining me today, and Merry Christmas.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.